highest goal and privilege of the believer is to know God. God cannot be taught, but God can be caught. He said, you will find me when you are serious about it. And when you want me more than any other thing, there has to be a hunger, an insatiable hunger. Because the more you know, the more you know you don't know. So you just have to keep hungering and testing and panting after you. Hallelujah. Jesus rode into Jerusalem triumphantly. People sang and shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They cut palm fronds, took their robes, they laid them on the floor. Praise the Lord. He was riding a donkey. The donkey would have been foolish to think that the Hosanna was for the donkey. It was for the rider. Because I tell you something, the moment the rider dismounted from the donkey, nobody heard from the donkey. Nobody knew about the donkey. So we must be careful. We must give it back to the rider. Come on, let's give it to him. Let's give it to him. Hallelujah. I joined my faith with your pastor and I pray that you will touch something. You know, let me add something to what pastor said. Everyone was thronging Jesus. Everyone was touching Jesus. Jesus only recognized one touch. Amen. Heaven does not know you touched God until you touch power. He said, power went out from me. So there is no record you came to church until you have a power encounter. Someone said, pastor without power is a lecturer. And symposiums and seminars don't change lives. It's a power encounter. Power will take you places. You know, while pastor was talking, I remembered something that happened. You know, at times I get myself into situations I never bargained for. There was this platform I was ministering. I was too excited to have an opportunity to take a plenary session. Because on that platform you had, I don't know if he's still, Reverend Dr., what's his name, the Assembly's guy, Chidi Okorafo. He was preaching there. Apostle Aslem Madubuku. They were all on that. So you asked me to take plenary session. It was a great thing. And then one year, they called me and said, Apostle Aslem can't come. Can you take a session? I said, what? I'd answered before I understood the question. I said, yes. Then they gave me the topic. Then I knew I was in trouble. Extraordinary anointing. To cut the story short, I was there. When I got there, I saw the people sitting down. Bishop, what's this man's name in Lagos? Ward Base Assembly, Humphrey Rumaka, Bishop John Praise, those guys were sitting there. I said, let's worship God, let's worship God, let's worship God. Everybody lift up your hand and worship God. As soon as they lifted up their hands to worship God, I knelt down. I said, Father, I brought myself into this. Don't allow me to disgrace myself. Help me. Please help me. And I will never put myself in this kind of situation again. So I preached. I taught. They listened to me. Then at the end of the service, or after, at the end of my teaching, I said, you can't talk of power. You can't talk of the anointing just by mouth. There has to be a demonstration. I said, lift up your hands and ask God. Boom! These guys were tumbling. That day, the way they saw me changed. At least one thing I can say, as soon as I came down, one of the bishops walked up to me and said, you are my friend from today. What I've been receiving as honorarium was multiplied by 5. You will touch something. But there is no release without a hunger. Oh no, there is no release without a hunger. I tell you the truth, your hunger can bring out anointing from a dead prophet. You see, most times it's not the fault of the prophets, it's a matter of desire. Anna had been going to Shiloh year after year. Nothing changed till she was mocked in the sanctuary. When she went back the next year, she went there with a desire. When service closed, she was still praying. She was still crying out to God. Eli met her. He said, why are you drunk at this time? See, the Bible says there was no revelation. There was no open vision. He said the word of the Lord was scarce in those days. Eli has stopped prophesying. He was so spiritually blind, he could not tell the difference between a praying person and a drunk person. And Anna said, don't take me to be a daughter of Belial. I'm just a woman of a sorrowful spirit, and I poured out my heart to God. And for the first time in the history of Eli, he gave a prophecy that came to pass. He said, the Lord grant you your desire. And the Lord visited Anna. She conceived and she gave birth to a son. He didn't stop there. When she brought Samuel to the temple, Eli gave another prophecy that came to pass. He said, the Lord visit you for this loan. And you know, Anna entered into the Guinness Book of Records as the first woman to have pentaplets. You're wondering. And the Lord visited Anna, and she conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. You say, yes, that's true. But look at this. And the Lord visited Leah, and she conceived, and she gave birth to a son. She called him Reuben. And the Lord visited Leah, and she conceived, and she gave birth to a son. She called him Simeon. And the Lord visited Leah, and she conceived, and she gave birth to a son. She called Judah. One visitation, one conception, one child. Anna, one visitation, one conception, 5. You know, that's what we call overtaking miracles. That is a miracle that God gives to you, that he literally invalidates what others have received. It makes what others have received look like child's play. Penina had been giving birth year after year or whatever time, but Anna came and completed her child giving birth her career at once. What are the names of Penina's children? I see someone connecting with an overtaking miracle. I see this church operating under an overtaking anointing. In the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody say, Lord, visit me. Say, I need a visitation. I need an experience that I will live to always remember. I need an indelible experience. Something that will change my life forever. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' name. While we're still standing, can we take the reading of God's word? Daniel 11:32. I'm talking about those that know their God. Amen. Daniel 11:32. I'm reading from the New King James Version. You can use whichever translation, but I think King James or New King James is better. Praise the Lord. He said, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word. In Jesus' name. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for anointing my lips of clay. Thank you for making my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking expressly through me. Thank you for enabling me to speak as the oracles of God. Enable me to speak spirit to spirit. Not to their intelligence, but to their hearts. Because the things which we desire to communicate can only be communicated spirit to spirit. Open our hearts to receive your word in the name of Jesus. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' name we pray. I said in the first service, and I'm going to say it again. God is looking forward to, God is raising a new generation of believers. Praise the Lord. And when I talk about generation, I'm not talking about demographics. I'm not talking about age group. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If Caleb at 80 could say, 85, sorry, give me this mountain, he was still on fire for God. Moses started ministry at 80. At 80. In this kingdom, there's no retirement, there's refirement. You don't retire, you refire. Amen. He said he will renew our youths like the eagles. Glory to God. Glory to God. The eagle is a very interesting bird. When an eagle gets old and tired, you know what it does? It musters its last ounce of strength and flies to a peak. The highest point, it will be close to the sun. Then it begins to beat his beak against the rocks. What is it doing? It will crack the beak. Then it begins to molt. It begins to shed itself. So before the eagle will leave that mountain, he would have shed his feathers, his talons, his skin. So when he's coming out, he's a brand new eagle. He went there old. He came back young. He goes there to exchange life.
Yes, sir.
That's what God means when he says he shall renew your youth like that of the eagle. So God is looking for a new generation of believers. And the characteristics of this generation, it's not just that they know the power of God, they know the word of God. It's not just that they have influence in society. It's not for their financial exploits, but that they know their God. You know, Daniel's prophecy was for the end times. He spoke about a generation that will rise up, that will live contrary to the order of the day. While there are those who are messing up in the kingdom, he said this generation will stand out. And why? He says they know their God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Jesus said to the woman at the well of Samaria, You worship what you don't know. But we worship what we know. For salvation is of the Jews. Two things. It's a tragedy to worship a God you don't know. It was God never designed that we will worship him without knowing him. Number two, the end goal of salvation is to bring you to the knowledge of God, to bring you to know God. Am I communicating? John 17, 1 to 3. Glory to God. What did Jesus tell us? But what does the Bible tell us? Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your son, that your son may also glorify you. He said, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give what? Eternal life to as many you have given him. And what did we say this morning? For those of us who are here, we said the church has missed the essence of life eternal. We have taught that eternal life is dying and go to heaven. Some teach that eternal life is here. Eternal life is the quality of life you live here. Now, there's a measure of truth. There's some measure of truth in what they teach. But they have lost the essence. Why do I say so? When you say this is, that's it. If you ask me, if somebody says to me, where's Glory Zone Church? I say, this is Glory Zone Church. What am I saying? Don't go somewhere else. This is it. This is what you're looking for. And in verse 3, what did Jesus say? And this is life eternal, that they may know you and Jesus, your son, who you have sent. So you have not taught eternal life when you don't know God. Am I communicating? Now, I'm not talking about what we say. You know, we say, I know the Lord. I know the Lord. No, I'm not talking of religion. But maybe to say something my pastor used to say. I'm not talking about churchianity. I'm not talking about belonging to a denomination. He said, this is life eternal, that they may know you. That they may know you. So you have not begun to experience eternal life when you've not started knowing him, when you don't know him. I said it earlier and I will say it again. One of the greatest tragedies of the church in our time. Thank God for the series on primitive apostolic practices. Those guys knew God though. Come on, they knew God. They knew God in a way we don't know him. They knew God. Listen to their utterances. Look at their lifestyle. They must be driven by something that was beyond despair of oppression. One of the tragedies of the church today, and one of the tragedies of the Christian experience, is the possibility of walking with God or being in the faith for so many years and not know the God you serve. Amen. If someone walked up to you, you've been a believer for so many years. I got born again in 1994. That's some 20 something years now. 27 years. I don't know. Amen. If they ask you, who is this God? Who is God? You see, one of the reasons we struggle with believers, you have to follow people up to save their own soul. They've not met God. I don't know if I've shared this or you've heard me say this. The kind of encounters I had with God after salvation. That's why I did some of the things I did. That's why things that happened did not shake me. When I tell people some of the things I've gone through, they look at me like this. For example, my family's bodies were still fresh in the morgue, but I was on the pulpit. Happened Thursday. Sunday, I said I was going to church. I said, am I crazy? I said, what am I doing at home? What am I doing at home? I went to church and I preached. And souls came to Christ. The encounters I had with God, it became too late for anybody or anything to convince me that it was not real. By the grace of God, from October 10th, 1994 to date, I don't think I have missed a service more than twice. Not one. Nobody's ever followed me up. Are we together? Is it that you may know him? Jesus called his disciples. Who do men say that I am? Some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Some say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Can I talk to someone? In your relationship with God, it doesn't matter to him what your pastor says about him. It's what you say about him. Who do men say that I am? Jesus answered nothing. Then he said, but who do you say that I am? When Peter said you are the Christ, then he spoke. You see, to get to a time, what your pastor says about God cannot get much for you. It's what you discover about God. You see, it's revelation when I discover it. It's information when I tell you. The purpose of my information is to drive you to find your revelation. It's like, don't mind me, I've just aligned the Holy Spirit one. Have you seen at times when mothers are trying to wean their children off breast milk, they want to start introducing them to solid food, then they'll take meat or take something, they'll chew it, eh? Then they'll bring it out and give it to the child so that they can eat, eh? They'll masticate it and they give it to the child. The child will enjoy it at that level, but at your age, if they chew that thing and give to you, will you eat? My revelation is my regurgitation. When I give you my revelation, it's regurgitation. I ate it, I vomited it, and you are swallowing it. So it's only for children. Is to provoke the child to move to maturity. I don't know if I'm making sense. Now, I'm not saying you discountenance what is preached or what the pastor is saying. No. No. You must hold on to his voice. But you must get to the place where what he says drives you to make a deeper search. Where you say, if pastor knows God like this, I need to know this God the way he knows it. Or even know this God better than... I'm tired of a generation that opens its mouth like little chicks, waiting for the pastor to regurgitate into their mouth. And someone said, ew. Yeah. Ew. Are we together? You can be in the faith for many years and not know this God. You can claim to have an excellent walk with him and still not know him. And I said, one of the reasons is that God wants to be found, but God loves to hide. And he will hide to find out whether you are serious, whether you are hungry. So you won't find God by simply saying, God, I want to know you, or singing, God, I want to know you. He will find him when it becomes your consuming passion. Did you hear what Paul said? When he said that I may know him, he said, I count all things but dung. You will find me, God said, when you seek for me with all your heart. Mercy said, when you are serious about it. When you want me more than you want anything else. When your desire to know God exceeds your desire to be blessed. And like Pastor said, when you look for God and you find God, the truth is you need nothing. You know, we are like people who are going to the bank to withdraw peanuts when you could own the bank. You are going to the stream to get a little water when you could own the ocean. When you find God, it's like owning the ocean and everything in it. Are we still together? Praise the Lord. Why is it that you can walk with God for so many years and still not know him? God is not a subject to be studied. See, you can know the Bible in toto and still not know God. I can't teach you the knowledge of God. I can only stir you to find God. So why is it difficult, or why is it that men can walk with God for so many years and still not know him? The reason being that God, the knowledge of God is not academic. Amen. It's not intellectual. It is revelatory and experiential. You must have a revelation of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. He said that we might be called the sons of God. 1 John 3:1. He said, beloved, now we are children of God, but it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. This is why. Because he has not yet been revealed to us. Amen. He said, but when he is revealed, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Two things. Until you have a revelation of God, you cannot enter into your full potential as a child of God. You see, it has not yet been made manifest what we shall be, even though now, presently, we are children of God. Number two, revelation enables you to see God the way he wants to be seen. Am I communicating? You are not looking at God through the filters. Revelation gives you an eye to see God in his pure form. Hello? Have you ever seen this in the scriptures? Where the Bible says God dwells in thick darkness. Have you wondered why? Why the God of light will go and be in thick darkness? Timothy says, he dwells in light unapproachable. The glory that emanates for him from him is so bright that it's consuming. So, for men with natural eyes under the old covenant to be able to see him, he needed a cloak of darkness. So he lifts up that cloak of darkness. That's why Moses could see him and not die. That's why people could see him, right? But revelation empowers you to see him as he is, without a cloak of darkness, without any facade. Are we still together? Praise the Lord. If I'm communicating, say, I hear you. So only by revelation can God be known. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The experience of knowing God is a product of intimate walk with him. So, okay, before that, let me say this. The knowledge of God can only be acquired by revelation, and the growth in the knowledge of God can only be by experience. Praise the Lord. Going from one level of glory, of encounter, to the other. Are we together? Now, experience, the experience of the knowledge of God is a product of intimacy, of an intimate walk with God. So until you get into intimacy with God, there are depths of the knowledge of God you will never encounter. There are levels, there are dimensions. You know, the Bible talks about the manifold wisdom of God. Amen. God has many names. But you know, the Bible does not refer to it as names. It's a name. We're the one that called names because it's plural. It's Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Rohi, Rehofika, Mekedishkem, Sikenu, El Gibor, Elion. You know? When Moses encountered God, God said to him that Abraham did not know me by my name Jehovah. He only knew me by El Shaddai. He said, but you, Moses, you will know me as Jehovah. So each name of God is an expression of who God is. It's a dimension of who God is. And if you realize, these guys didn't know God by academic knowledge, by experience. When Abraham said, Jehovah Nissi, it was after the provision of the lamb to replace his son. By experience, he knew God was a provider. So there are depths of the knowledge of the person of God that you cannot encounter without an intimate experience or intimate walk with God. Are we good? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. And around the area we stopped, I said, there's an aspect of You know, there's an aspect of our relationship with God, our desire to know God or to walk with God, that the church has ceased exploring. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we go to Enoch. The Bible says Enoch walked with God, and he was not, but God took him. The testimony of Enoch was centered around his walk with God. The only thing the Bible has to tell us about Enoch was that he walked with God. Enoch had an unprecedented, an unparalleled walk with God. His relationship with God was at another level. Nobody in his time, and I dare to say nobody after that, has been able to walk with God that way. Are we together? Enoch walked with God. Amplify say he walked in habitual fellowship with God. Enoch walked with God, and it was not, for God took him. Amen. Amplify says he was not found among men. Amen. So he was somewhere else. If they knew where to look for him, they would have found him. He was not found among men. He walked with God in such a way that it became, you know, say Paul saw things unspeakable. That was not lawful. I think Enoch would have stumbled upon stuff that God said, if I leave this man on earth, there are things he will say and cause confusion. Go and read Jude. Enoch prophesied about Christ. He preached about the Christ. He talked about the second coming. How would he have known those things if he was not sitting in the counsel of Jehovah? Hello. Have you wondered how? You know, the Bible says God will come in the cool of the day to fellowship with Adam. I discovered that when you talk about Eden, we always talk about Eden, and we look at Eden as a garden. But I discovered that there was a location in Eden that when you cross it, it was a meeting place between two worlds of two realms. It was a meeting place between the heavenlies and the earth. So Adam will just stroll and walk into heaven. And God will stroll and come in from heaven and come to the earth. Can I show you something? I pray you'll be able to take it. Prayer, as we know it, is not God's best. Hold on. Healing is not God's best. Health is. Healing is only necessary when health is not in place. I wish above all things that you'll prosper and be in health. He says, I will put none of these diseases on you. So you are not supposed to be sick. So healing is a stopgap. It's a temporary arrangement to bring you back to God's original. In Genesis chapter 4 verse 25, the Bible tells us that in the days of Seth, he said, men began to call on the name of God. Hello. In other words, men began to pray in the days of Seth. So the question is, how did Adam walk with God without prayer? How did Adam fellowship with God without prayer as we know it? Hello? Before the fall, Adam was a spirit man. Was a man dominated by his spirit. Are you with me? Right? Okay, hold on. Let me backtrack. There is something called a theophany. Amen. A visible apparition of God in the natural realm. Abraham had a theophany. Right? Moses had a theophany. And can I say something? It was Christ they were seeing. Christ is the visible expression of the invisible God. Every time God appeared visibly, it was Jesus. It has always been and will always be about Jesus. He said, no man has seen him at any time. Christ is the visible expression of the invisible God. So Abraham had a theophany. The saints of old had a theophany. But can I beg to submit that Adam did not have a theophany? Why do I say so? Before the fall, you see, the reason for theophanies was because God had to reveal himself to a spiritually dead people. People who could not perceive him, who could not see him, who could not touch him by the spirit. So they had to see him by physical eyes. But Adam before the fall did not have a theophany. He saw God. The first thing he saw was God. So how was that possible? Adam was a spirit man. Adam was created a spirit. You are the one who thinks you are a human being. I tell my folks in church, it's an insult to call me a human being. 1 Corinthians 3:3 says, you are behaving like men. Means I'm not a man. He said, but we are people, we are human beings. I'm not. Stop telling yourself a lie. You know, we tell ourselves that thing to deceive ourselves, to do what is wrong. He said, but we are human beings now. I'm not a human being, and I don't intend to be. Adam was created a spirit. He was given a physical body to be able to relate to the physical world. So how was he able to relate to God? By spirit being, by spirit body. God is spirit, and they that worship him must, not me, it's non-negotiable, must worship him in spirit and in truth. So every time Adam fellowship with God, every time God came in the cool of the day to fellowship with God, I think somehow Adam was able to disconnect from his natural body and have fellowship with God. Do spirits wear clothes? So God said, the Nigerian spirits wear clothes. Do spirits consider nakedness? God said to Adam, who told you were naked? Who told you? Only the physical body understands nakedness. Amen. See, who told you were naked? And this is where I'm going to. We are spirit men. You see, Adam leaned. Adam's sin, please understand. Adam's sin, when people talk about Adam's sin, they say he ate apple, he ate this. This is how I see Adam's sin. Adam leaned onto his physical being at the expense of his spirit being. You see, when he saw physical being, that the fruit was desirable, Adam leaned on his appetite against what set the Lord. He said, don't eat it. He leaned on his appetite and ate. That was how men became flesh men. They chose the way of the flesh over the way of the spirit. Am I communicating? And that's what brought about what we call prayer. Because we could no longer reach God in our pure spirit form. And you know, Jesus came to correct the error of Adam. And unfortunately, we are still making the mistake of Adam, even when we pray. We are most conscious of ourselves like this than the real us that is inside. This building is not the church. It is you inside the building. Come and communicate. So we need to get to a level in prayer where we break out of the limitations our traditional understanding of prayer has boxed us in, to a place where we break forth with our spirit man to begin to touch God, to begin to reach God, to begin to experience God. That's why we're giving tongues in the first place. You see, when you speak in a tongue, it's your spirit that is praying. But it's not when you are saying, tie my boot, I lose my shoelace. Suzuki under, Suzuki under. That yellow sister, that yellow sister, that yellow sister. Lord, give me the wife I've been thinking of. It's when your spirit is yearning for God. See, like I said, these things cannot be put in words. Adam never said father, but he had deep fellowship with him. Until the days of Seth, no one prayed. But they had deep intimate fellowship with God. Prayer was designed as a means to reach God, not as a means to get stuff. It was never as a means to get stuff. Principle of first mention. The first time prayer is mentioned in the Bible was because men could no longer reach God, and they had to devise a means to reach God. So if we are praying and we are not touching Him, then we are not praying. We are playing. As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand. That's what Elijah said. Do you understand this, that statement? He says, I'm standing here, God is standing.
Hey, yes, sir.
He did not say there shall be no rain according to the word of the Lord. He said, according to my word. Because I've reached God, I've touched God. I am coming from God. In fact, God is here. Do you know what happened? When God was ready to send rain, do you know God himself could not unlock the heaven without Elijah? He said, Elijah, go and show yourself to Ahab. I want to send rain. And even at that, he could not send the rain till Elijah went up to Carmel and unlocked the heaven. You see, that's what happens when you touch God. That's what happens when you experience God in prayer. When you come into his presence and you say, Lord, I didn't come to ask for anything. I think we'll do that in the third service. I have not come to ask anything. It's you I came to see. I came to meet with you. And I'm not leaving here till I find you. I don't know how you're going to read it, but my spirit must break out of the traditions, the confines, and touch you and reach you. I want to leave this service today knowing that I saw God. I met God. Hallelujah. Are we together? Let me share this with you. Praise the Lord. You know, I said I've had encounters that is difficult to make me change my mind. As a young Christian, I actually went to Lagos to job seek, on a job hunt after my mercy. And I was still my brother. That was when I got born again. So, when they go to work, and I don't have anywhere to go, I will lock up the door. And I will start fellowshipping with God, worshiping, praying. And I tell you, there were days I had theophanies. There were days he came down. If you walked in on us, you just see us ballet, waltzing. If you walked in, you see only me. But I know what I was doing. I know who I was with. You said, put your feet here. Put your feet here. Do like this. I think it was 2010. I had an experience. I've been fasting 30 days. 30 days of glory. On the last day, we decided to break with the communion service. And we were praying before that meeting. Don't one of those crazy fasts where you don't eat anything. And while we're worshiping God, Isaiah 6 came alive. I saw Isaiah 6. No, I said that his strength. I had a theophany. He came down and placed his throne in a particular portion of my sitting room that we're using like as a fellowship center, just by the pulpit. And I saw his robe. I saw his robe. I've never seen anything like that. It was as if they used the sky, the clouds, to make a vestment. And he passed on. Whoosh. So God is here. When we had that communion, I told the people what I'd seen. And I said, I'll keep the communion trays there. You go and take it from there. I won't give it to you. So people were going, they will take it, they'll go, they'll take it. And somebody just, I think he just had a wave and said, if God sat here, why would I just stand? So he got there, knelt down, and took. Everything changed. Everyone who came after him knelt down. Within a matter of minutes, the power of God hits the place. tomb, everybody was flat. No one, including myself, could stand. We're all under the power. For so many minutes. Now, I was talking about, I remembered something else. Please don't mind me. I'm watching my time. I'd had an experience before that, 10 days of glory. I was watching one of my father in the Lord's churches. I was doing itinerant work then, and they were without a pastor. I said, how can his church be without a pastor? And I live next door. So I volunteered to hold forth whenever I'm not on the field. So we had 10 days fasting and prayer, and we rounded up with a communion service. Now in our church, communion is on that level. I don't want to go into that. So while we're taking communion that day, it was the morning, very early in the morning, God spoke to me. He said, number one, he said, the way the elders of Israel eat in the presence of God, he said, I will come down and eat with you. You see, I'm saying these things because, you see, we have gotten used to, in quotes, relating to God by faith, forgetting that he did not desire that we just relate to him by faith. He wants us to experience him man to man. That's why Jesus removed the veil. That's why, that's the blood. He said we have access into his presence by the blood. He wants us to be able to walk into his presence again, as Adam did, as Enoch did. So we're sharing communion that morning, and I told them, God said he's coming to eat with us. Because I started taking communion, the power of God fell. So there are testimonies. One lady said, as she took the communion, a lizard jumped out of her. On Thursday, we had one that program. A big bird flew out of somebody. On that one, said birds. Witchcraft just flew out. So guess what? So we're taking the communion, the power of God came down, and then God spoke. He said, I'm going to follow some of you home. I said, what ahead? I closed the meeting and went home. 8 a.m. the next day, somebody was pounding on my door. Pastor Chuck. It was not before it. What is it? What is it? Pastor, just come and carry your God. He's in my room. God will go home with someone. The lady had been querying and questioning God. So that morning God showed up and said, sit down, let's talk. So let's talk. She took off. So I should come and carry my God. Is he not your God? There are things I don't like to talk. You know, there are some people you can tell some things. There are some people you can't tell some things. There are things we talk about, you would think we've gone, either we've gone bonkers or we are not human beings. I'm not a human being, actually. I'm a spirit being. I want to know you. I want to experience you. See, I want to know you so, so intimately. I want it to be so real. I want to be able to tell the next person that I have met this God. I have touched him. I've experienced him. He's not an abstract idea. He's real. As a matter of fact, he's more real than you. I've had such an experience with God that when they ask you the next time, who is this God? You'll be able to relay your experience. Is someone ready to pray?
Are you sure? Are you sure? I want to know you. That's all I want you to pray. I want to know you. If that is the last thing I get from you, just show me who you are. Show me who you are. Your work with God is not complete. Moses said, you have shown me favor. You said you know me by name. But now show me your glory. God said, you can't see my face. God knew what was in Moses' heart. He said, I've seen everything. It's your face I need to see. He said to Moses, nobody will see me and live. He did not deter Moses. He didn't move him. There's a price. If you are willing to break through, you will get it. Lord, show me who you are. Show me who you are. Show me who you are. Reveal yourself to me. Make yourself known. Give me such a tangible experience. The kind of experience my generations to come will talk about. I want to break forth in the realm of the spirit. I want to break forth in prayer. I want my prayer time to be more than just having, you know, just praying. I want to have fellowship. I want my prayer time to become an experience with you. I want it to be an encounter. I want to come out of my prayer closet knowing that I met with you. Knowing that I experienced you. Knowing that I touched you. Open my eyes, Lord. So that I can see you as you need to be seen. I'm tired of prayer as I know it. I want to break into another dimension. I want to come out of my prayer place. Knowing that I just did not pray, but I met you. I want that every time I come into your presence, every time I'm there to pray, that I meet you. Because I know every time I come, you are waiting for me. An insatiable hunger. An insatiable hunger. The kind of hunger that does not stop. The kind that does not stop till I find you. I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to meet with you. I want to break forth into your presence in the place of prayer. Come on, push, push, push. Break past the barrier. Push. 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 Break out of the barriers. Break out of the limitations of traditional prayer. My desire is to know. Likata la brakate, le breketo le branos sapata le kete. Ikata le breketo le mande de dos rapate le koto. Rikata la ba. Rapata, Shapate, Kadosa, Reteteli Kalaba, Rabanagados, La Catania, La Aria, Ripa Postale, Rabanagadas, Shekedos Kate, Ripa
Desire,
Ripa Desire, Leprekatos. encounter. Give me an 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 encounter. I want to meet with you. I want to meet with you. I don't want people to tell me about you any longer. I want to be able to say something. 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 Something about meeting you. I want to be able to tell my generation that I know this God. I have met with you. I've experienced you. I have met with you. I know who you are like. Here under the sound of my voice, your hunger is strong, and the Lord said I should tell you that I will match your hunger. He said, I will match your hunger. 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 I will reveal myself to the measure of your hunger. He said, I will show up. 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 He said, I will match your hunger. There's someone. While I was speaking, you said in your heart, this is me. This is me you are talking to. This is what I have wanted. He's showing up. He's showing up for you wherever you are. He's showing up for you. 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 He's showing up. 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 Yes, yes, yes. He's showing up. Oh. Yes, he's showing up, he's showing up, he's showing up. He's showing up, he's showing up. He's showing up. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Give you praise. Oh, thank you, Father. Healings have taken place. Healings have taken place. Healings have taken place. Healings have taken place. There are a lot of healings going on right now. Listen, there's someone you've had low abdominal pain, I think to your right, for a long time. Check it. It's gone. Check it. It's gone. Check it. It's gone. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, quickly, quickly. There's under service, so I have no choice. We have to find a way to round up. You know, the days when I was in Yola, we have meetings like this. It will spill over. children will be prophesying. Children will walk up to someone. I'm talking of children. Eyes completely shut. Not know who they are talking to. They just take you and they will tell you your whole life. They'll prophesy. Tell you your past, your present, your future. Children. Because of the atmosphere. Now listen to me. Salvation is the starting point. The purpose of salvation is to know Him. You can't know this God without salvation. Jesus came to make Him known. And life without knowing God is a tragedy. So quickly, you're not born again. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you want to make that commitment. I believe there can be no better atmosphere. See, the things I experienced immediately after salvation formed my life. I was a Catholic. I had no Pentecostal experience. My experience is direct. Direct with God. Much of what I know was direct, and that's why I couldn't fit in into the structure I was. You want to know Jesus, you want to have continuous encounters. You've been sitting and you've been wondering, what's happening? Why is it not happening to me? You need to know Jesus. You want to meet this Jesus, you want to be born again. Can you please lift up your right hand? I want to pray with you. You want to be born again, you want to say, Pastor, even online. Join us. You want to give your heart to Jesus. You want to surrender to Him. Just lift up your right hand. I need to see it so I can pray with you. Ushers, help me if there's anyone in the overflow. The overflow upstairs, you want to give your hearts to Jesus. Just lift up your hand. Wherever you are, rise to your feet so that we can pray together. Thank you, my sister. Wherever you are.
Hallelujah. Just lift your hands. You are giving your heart to the Lord. You are rededicating your heart to the Lord. It overflows online in the main hall. Just raise your hand. Make sure your hands are lifted. Let someone reach you. Let someone reach you. I can see a hand over there. I can see a hand over there behind Efosan. Let your eyes. Lift your hands. You are online and you are joining us. Can we all rise to our feet? Can we all rise? Now, for those of you surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus, rededicating your life to Christ, receiving salvation today, keep your hand lifted. Keep your hand lifted. Keep your hand lifted. Until somebody gets to you. Nobody has still gotten to that lady. Keep your hand lifted. Get a card. Just keep your hand lifted. In the overflow, I can see a hand in overflow there. In the overflow, make sure you get to him. There's a counselor standing there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As our custom is here, can we pray this prayer with them? Now, those of you with your hands lifted, you can. There's a hand lifted here. Those of you with your hand lifted, You have to believe in the sacrificial work of Jesus and confess with your mouth his lordship. That is what it takes to be saved. And I want you to do it passionately. Do it loud. Don't allow the voice of people trying to encourage you to overshadow yours. You don't get saved and receive salvation by talking small. You will speak boldly because you have come to believe the things we are talking about. So right where you are with your hand lifted, you pray this prayer, believing every word from the depth of your heart. Say,
we believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.